Chapter 4. You get up and try opening up. It's hard to think of something original to say every Sunday morning. We're going to read in Ephesians chapter 4. And verses 7 through verse number 12, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. And this is the message I was going to preach a couple of Sundays ago when I didn't preach. And I thought about going on to something else, but the Lord just wouldn't let me. And this goes right along with the Sunday school lesson this morning. I mean, they could just one complement the other. And so I'm glad that it worked out this way. And so I hope you were here for Sunday school or have the lesson. It's talking about the pastors as well, but Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 7. The Bible said, "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men." Now, there's a parenthesis in verse 9 and 10 that explains what's going on in verse number 8, but the thought of verse number 8 picks up again in verse number 11. So, verse 8 said, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. And verse 11, and he picks up that thought again, he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Let's stop there and we'll have prayer. Father, I want to thank you for allowing us to be here today and all the many blessings that you've given to us. I want to thank you for your word. And I want to thank you, Lord, for just working things out that we could preach the message this morning. And Lord, how it goes right along with the Sunday school lesson. We didn't plan it that way, but Lord, we're thankful that God, you speak to us from your word. And I pray, Lord, that you'd have your way this morning. I pray, Lord, that we would think about from your word about what pastors are for. And the ministry from the pulpit of ministering the Word of God, what it's for, and how it's to benefit the church. And I pray you'd help us as a church that we would grow. I pray you'd speak to our hearts. I pray if there's one here today that's lost, that you'd show them their great need of salvation. And Lord, I pray and ask that you would help us today. And I pray that you'd give liberty as we try to preach thy Word. And I pray that nothing would hinder. Lord, and I pray to be able to have liberty and unction as we stand and try to preach today. Thank you for each and every one that's here. And I pray, Lord, we get something that would be a help and a blessing to us out of the message today. And we'll thank you. Lord, we ask it all in Jesus' name and amen. Let's go back and read verse number 11 one more time. The Bible said, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. And we're going to pay particular attention to the last part of verse number 11, that he gave some pastors and teachers. Pastors and teachers. Some think that the pastors and teachers are the same person. It's referring to the same office. And I believe that it is referring to the same person. The "and teachers" part of it is by way of explanation. And that would agree with other scriptures in the Bible. What it is saying here is it's explaining that the pastor is to be a teacher. Now, we have teachers in church and Sunday school and things like that. And that's also we can find covered in the Bible. But this pastors and teachers, it's explaining the office of a pastor, what he's supposed to do. He's supposed to be not only a preacher, but a teacher as well. Pastors and teachers. If we study other scriptures in the Bible concerning the pastor, we'd find that it is talking about that pastors are to be teachers. For example, this morning, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verses 1 and 2 and down through there is talking about the elders which are among you. And Peter said, I also being an elder. And let me say, in the New Testament, as we read the Bible, the word elder and the word bishop and the word pastor, they're all used interchangeably. You're talking about a bishop, you're talking about a pastor, you're talking about an elder. You're talking about the same thing when you come to the Bible. We don't have somebody that's a bishop and somebody that's an elder and somebody that's a pastor. In the Bible, if you study that out, it's all referring to the same thing. Like a man could be he's a mister, he's a father, you have different, a president, we call the commander-in-chief or the president, you have different names for the same office. And that's the way it is in the Bible. These different names explain. Now, it talks about elders in 1 Peter chapter 5. And the first thing that Peter tells us about the elders is that they are to feed the flock of God. And the feeding of the flock of God, that doesn't mean that after church I'm going to take you all down to the restaurant. It's talking about spiritually. It's talking about spiritual food. It's talking about preaching and teaching the Word of God. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 2 is talking about the bishop. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. It's talking about being a pastor of a church. And it says in 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse number 2, in that long list of qualifications for the bishop, he is to be apt to teach. He's to be a teacher of the Word of God. 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 17, it talks about the pastor over there and those who labor in the word and doctrine. And so pastors are to be teachers of the Word of God. Now, I've missed October appreciation by a day. It's the 1st of November, but we'll preach along these lines anyway this morning. When you think about, though, that in October, pastors have a time set aside for pastor appreciation. When you say to somebody, I appreciate you, that means I value. There's a value there. And so the value we think about of the pastors, and we're just going to preach on the subject today of this. If I was given a title, I would just simply call it pastors. What the Bible teaches and tells us about pastors. The Lord showed me some things out of Ephesians chapter 4 that I had actually never really seen before. And I want to show it and share it with you this morning, what the Bible says about pastors. Now, pastors are gifted. And we see that in verses 7 and verse number 8. The Bible said over there, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now, we were talking in the Sunday school hour. Brother Mike was teaching. He was talking about a pastor having a calling. And a calling is being called to work. There's work involved. I think sometimes people think about somebody having a calling that they don't have to work at it. But you do have to work at it. And there's a work involved. Even if God gives you a gift to do something, you still have to work at it. Somebody might have to have a gift to play an instrument, and they are still going to have to work at that gift. Just because somebody has a gift does not mean that they don't have to work at it. Pastors are gifted individuals. God has given them a gift. If I have anything to offer to the church, it is not my talent. It is not that I have wit. It is not that, oh, you're just good at public speaking. There are people that are good at public speaking, but they're not called to preach. If I have anything to offer to God's church today, it is the gift that God gave to me. What I'm doing today and what I'm doing with my life is something that once upon a time I did not have the ability to do. God gave a gift, and God gifts. And if we would recognize this, we'd appreciate the pastor and what he does more. That God gives gifts to men. And they are to exercise these gifts. They are to use these gifts that God has given them. So pastors are gifted men. And I've told you many, many times about growing up and how shy I was, and I would have been the last one that anybody would have ever thought he'll be a preacher, he'll be a pastor one day. In fact, I pastored for several years, and I told the Lord, you got the wrong one. But you know, the Lord knows what he's doing. And he gives gifts. Pastors are gifted men. Pastors are a gift. Why does God give certain gifts to people? He gives them a gift that they would use that gift, that they would exercise that gift. They are a gift to the church. Now, he gave gifts in verse 7, in verse number 8, and the Bible said in verse number 11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Do you notice what it says in the first part of verse number 11? It says, and he gave. Now, the gift of a evangelist, pastor, teacher, that is not for the Ruritan Club that he gave that gift. It's not for the public library. It's to the church. So the church, it's not for the halls of Congress. I mean, they could all benefit if they'd listen to what the pastor has to say. But the gift that God gave a gift to men, and he gave some, he gave it to the church. The Bible said in Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 15, God said, and I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. It's a gift to the church. And the pastor is to exercise his gift within the context of the church. And that's what is being talked about here in Ephesians chapter number 4. Now, there are some gifts that we receive that although they are nice, they are not very useful. Christmas is coming up, and a lot of times you think, well, I got to get somebody a gift. I don't like to just spend money on something that's not worth anything. But you know, the tables in the stores, the aisles fill up with all kinds of gifts, and a lot of them, they're just not worth anything. They're not useful for anything. We were coming to church today, and I asked my family, I said, I want you all to tell me give me an example of a useless gift. You can buy a lot of useless gifts. Well, Kim, she started out, she said, a stuffed animal. We have piles of stuffed animals, and Kim never plays with them. So to her, that's not worth anything. That's not useful. Now, Chloe, she didn't agree with that. She thinks it's worth something. See, a lot of times it's who receives the gift. I asked Chloe, I said, what's a useless gift? She said, a bush. Well, I guess to her, I could see that. That wouldn't be worth a thing. Now, to me, it'd be what kind of bush it was. Is it a blueberry bush and I'm going to get something out of it? Or, you know, what kind and who are you giving it to? And so we think about that. Sometimes there are gifts that we receive and they're nice. Maybe they're just for pleasure. Abigail said candy. Candy's, you know, it gives some pleasure, but it's not good for you. It's not useful really for anything. So there are some gifts, although they may be thoughtful, they may be pleasing to the eye, they may bring decoration or something into our life, but they do not do anything. But then there are other gifts that we receive that are useful gifts. Now we're getting into the men's department. Useful gifts. We've always said, why doesn't the mall have a hardware store? If you ask me, there's not very many useful things in the mall. Why don't they have a hardware store where there's useful things, you know, hammers and screwdrivers and knives and things like that? I've received in the past month several shirts and ties. Now, a lot of you men, you might say, boy, I don't have no use for that, but now that's useful to me. Preachers go through a lot of shirts and ties, and so sometimes we receive things, they are not worth, they're not useful. Sometimes we receive gifts that are useful. And I said all that to say this, that pastors are useful. Look what the Bible said. Well, what are they for? You might receive a gift. What's that for? If you notice in verse number 12, there's a for there. He gave some. And pastors and teachers are mentioned there. For. See, that's for something. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. There's some things that you, without the pastor, you will never see. You ever thought about that? There are just some things in your life you will never be without the benefit of God's pastoral gift. Say, what do you mean by that, preacher? Have you ever heard the preacher preach and a message and you go by? And I've had people say this to me. I cannot tell you how many times down through the years I've had people come by, and after the message, they would say, I enjoyed that. I've read that 100 times and have never seen that before. Do you think that maybe God designed His Word in such a way that He could give gifts unto men, and He could give those men unto the church for your benefit? That you might see something, that you might be something that you would not receive apart from the ministry of the Word. Pastors are for something. Well, we see that here in verse number 12. And verse number 12 is my outline this morning. There's three things that pastors are for in verse number 12. Number one, for the perfecting of the saints. That's what pastors are for. For the perfecting of the saints. Now, some of the saints might think they are already there. But I promise you they're not there. And that's not what that's talking about anyway. That's not what that means. Oh, if I just listen to the preacher, I'd be perfect. That's not what that's talking about. For the perfecting of the saints, the perfecting that it's talking about in the Word of God, it means this, to completely furnish someone. It means to equip for service. Now, I was in the Air Force. I did not fly a plane. But you know what I was? I was in supply. And as it turns out, as I read and study the Word of God, that's what a pastor is for. He is to supply the saints. He is to equip the saints. He is to give them the tools that they need to carry out their lives as a child of God. Now, I was in supply. And in supply, we supplied everything. Everything that came to the base came through supply. Clothes, office equipment, tools to work with, fuel, weapons, ammunition, everything. Everything on a military base comes through supply one way or the other. Everything, can you imagine? A military installation is a city that is unto itself. They need everything. The commissary, food, that's food it's talking about. I mean, everything that the base would need comes through supply. We were in the business of issuing. We would receive it. We would store it. When somebody had a need, we'd go get it. We would take it to them. Everything, if you think about supply, and you would give specific supplies for specific needs. A lot of times guys would come in off the flight line. They work out there, work on jet engines, work on the airplanes, fueling the planes, everything. And they'd come in, they'd say, it's getting cold, I need a pair of gloves. And they'd have a piece of paper that authorized them to come and get a pair of gloves. But you know, in supply, we had all kinds of gloves. We had gloves for the honor guard. You ever seen those guys and they've got white gloves on? How long do you think that lasts out on the flight line? Opening boxes and using wrenches and picking up. That's not the kind of gloves they needed. What good would supply be if it didn't give you exactly what you need when you need it? So that guy that's working on the flight line, he needs some leather gloves with some warm inserts in them. That's what he needs. And that's what supply does. Supply gives you a specific need. Supply is not a one-time stop. I remember my first interaction with Supply, and what they did in basic training, they give you a duffel bag. You seen those great big tall green duffel bags the Army and guys carry around? And they sent us into a certain room, and there were big piles of clothes. And they said, go over there, get you three tops, three pairs of pants, and they're just thrown on the floor. That's why everybody in basic training looks like a hefty garbage bag. They're doing that to humble you, and you know that, and you just go over there and you start putting stuff in a bag, and then you go sort it out. Thankfully, later they let you go back and get something you look a little better in. But that wasn't the first time I ever needed anything. That was my first experience getting what I needed at the time. But thankfully, I got to go back, and I got to go back. And God's Word is like that. You're not going to go and get everything you need all at once. But as you go along in life, you're going to find at different times you need different things. And God has given the pastors to the churches to supply your need, not only what you want, but when, not only what you want and need, but when you need something. When you need something. You know, I told you, my mom was kidding me, and she said, if you ever preach on trouble again, I'm going to get you. Seems like since I preached that message on trouble, that there's been a lot of people that's had some trouble that they've had to deal with. Could it be that God knew that trouble was coming down the road for some of us, and God was giving us ahead of time something we'd need to get us through that trouble? You're going to have needs in your life. You're not going to get it all at once, but God is going to give us what we need when we need it. That is why the pastor's ministry is so important. There's something you're going to need. But I'll tell you this morning, if you're not here, you're not going to get it. I've got a little comic in my Bible. I don't know that I could find it right off, but it's B.C. It's the caveman. Some of you read the comics, you know, and he reads in the dictionary sometimes, and he walks up to a rock, and there's a dictionary, and he sees the word sermon. And the definition out to the side for sermon, it said a message directed mainly at those who are not in attendance. If you're not here, you're not going to get what God has for you. You're not going to get a supply, something that you need in your life. Now, there are some things that are standard issue that everybody gets, and then sometimes you got a special need. If you look over in Ephesians chapter number 5 or chapter number 6, there's some standard issue items. I think the illustration of supply applied to the child of God is something that's very, very good application. Because in Ephesians chapter number 6, it's talking about the armor. Who needs armor but an army? We got to be supplied from the Lord. There's some things we need. We're not going to make it if we don't have. There's some needed things. There's some things that are standard issue that everybody gets. And he talks about, we'll just pick up Ephesians chapter 5 just by way of example, verse 13, or Ephesians 6 and 13. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You see, the soldier has been outfitted there. He's got a helmet and a breastplate and a girdle and special shoes and a shield and a sword and all of these things. God's Word, the ministry of God's Word is to help us, to be a blessing, to equip us, to supply us with what we need. I never grew very much in my Christian life until I got real serious about the pulpit ministry. What was the preacher preaching on? What did the pastor have for us this Sunday morning? I grew up in church. I was trying to think this morning if I remember anything that was ever preached on. I don't think I can. But I can't remember a lot of things. I do remember a few things growing up, but I'll tell you, I got something, whether I remember it or not. I got saved. They must have been preaching on salvation and the Lord Jesus Christ. I was there that Sunday morning, and I got that, and I'm thankful this morning that I did. And I got a lot of things, but when I became a young adult, and I was married, and living in England, Kim and I, and I really began to pay attention. And I'd go to church and I'd say, Lord, I want you to speak to me this morning. Lord, I want you to help me today. And you know what I found out? God would speak to me through His Word. God would help me. God would lay something on the pastor's heart that directly spoke to my heart and helped me in my Christian life. But I never grew very much until I got serious about the pastor's ministry. The pastor's ministry is for the perfecting of the saints, number one. It is not for me, it's for you. For the perfecting of the saints. Now we're moving down the line here in verse number 12. Number one, number two, number three. Look next to what it says. For the perfecting of the saints, comma. For the work of the ministry, that's number two. Now I would say 99% of all people that read this verse look at it the wrong way. For many years, I looked at it the wrong way. I did not see it as it is written. I just assumed I knew what it was talking about. Sometimes we have selective hearing, and sometimes we have selective reading. A study was done years ago. A man was a marriage counselor, and he did a study among all of his clients, and he asked them, he said, what was the result of the fall for women? He said that without fail, the men would respond, and they would say that the wife was to be subject unto the husband. And he said, without fail, the women would answer and say that you'd have pain in childbearing. It says both as a result of the fall. But the men saw one thing and the women saw another thing. Sometimes we're like that when we read the Bible. But what does the Bible say? That He gave pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Now, a lot of people, we read that and we say, well, that's what the pastor's for. The pastor's supposed to do the work of the ministry. The pastor's supposed to do these things. But that is not what it's saying. If we read it the way it's written, it says that He gave pastors for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Now, the pastor does have a work, and his work is outlined in the Bible, and his work is called the ministry of the Word. The apostles found out that they were getting all caught up in the what was going on in the church at Jerusalem, and they said, wait, something's got to be done different here. Choose you out 7 men full of the Holy Ghost and honest report. Remember that in Acts chapter number 6? That was to wait on the tables. And they said in verse number 4, but we will give ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the Word. All of their time was being taken up in something that was taking them away from what they were actually called to do, and that was prayer and the ministry of the Word. Now, the gift of the pastor is for the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry. Who is to actually carry out the work of the ministry is the church. If you think about all that goes on in a church, the pastor cannot even begin to do everything that needs to be done. And I'm not getting on to you this morning. I'm preaching the Word of God, what the Bible has to say. I was kidding with Brother Steve, and I said, when y'all had pastor appreciation and I didn't preach, and I told Brother Stephen, I said, I couldn't preach. After as nice as they was to me, I said, I was really going to let them have it. But you think about all that goes on in a church. All of the outreach, all of the ministries. The pastor cannot do it. Cannot do it. You'd really be handicapped if I tried to do everything. If I tried, I was just thinking about all that, the calendars and newsletters and just a simple thing like planning a Thanksgiving meal or a Christmas program or vacation Bible school or there's 100 things probably we could come up with. If you were not involved, if you didn't do your part, it just wouldn't get done. That is the work of the ministry. All of those things that needs to be done. Think about all that we do. Verses 15 and 16, look what it compares the church to. It compares the church to a body. And in a body, all the joints and all the muscles and all the bones and all the internal workings, they all have to work together. He said in verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. The church is like a body. Everything has to work together. And then it says, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. The effectual working in the measure of every part. Every part has to work together effectively. And if every part does not work together effectively, you know what? You're handicapped. Like a few weeks ago when my back went out. One part was not effectively working together with all the other parts. But I'm telling you, that one part, it makes a difference. If you've jammed your toe, you know how important every little part. If you've ever had a toothache, you know how important every little part is. Every little part has to work together. And if something is not working right, then it sometimes can shut down the whole rest of everything that's going on. You say, oh, I'm not important. Are you an eye? Are you a joint? Are you whatever you are, you're needed. You're needed. All you have to do is get something out of whack in your body and you realize how important that little part is. We cannot all sing. I realize that. God doesn't call everybody to preach or to teach. We're not supposed to, but there are some things that we can all do. We can all pray. We can all support the ministry. We talked about that this morning, and I commend y'all. You do a good job, but there's just some things that everybody can do. Everybody can witness. Everybody can tell somebody their testimony. Everybody can invite somebody to church. Everybody can give somebody a tract. Everybody can be a good testimony. And there's enough to do in the church that everybody can do something. There's plenty to do. In Acts chapter 8, verse 4, when it said, therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word, that they was the church. The apostles stayed there in Jerusalem, and there was a persecution, and the church was scattered. As the church went, they went everywhere preaching the word. They carried on the ministry, the work of the ministry. heard a preacher preach years ago, and I'm sure I've told this here, but he said, he made the statement in the church. He was talking about the pastor. And the pastor, the word pastor means to be a shepherd or an under-shepherd. And the flock of God is the church. And he made the statement, he said, sheep have sheep. We all know that. Sheep reproduce and have other sheep. That's the work of the ministry. The shepherd has a, he's to feed the flock, he's to oversee, but sheep have sheep. We're to be having sheep. We're to be reproducing. We're to have fruit. I thought about when Kim and I were in England, and it was the sheep that won us. We went to church one time. A boy in that church invited us to come, and we went to church. I cannot tell you what the preacher preached on. We enjoyed it. We had a good time. We talked about it. But I'll tell you what really won us to Faith Baptist Church many years ago was the sheep. There were a few couples that came along and befriended us and took us into their lives and invited us over to play silly games on Sunday night after church and came and visited us and encouraged us and were examples unto us. That won us. That brought us in. That changed our whole lives. Eventually, the preaching of the Word of God got into my heart and Kim's heart, and she got saved, and boy, it just changed everything. But who got us in? It was the sheep. Cared for us, took time, loved us, brought us in, encouraged us. We weren't going to church. We started out just, we went on Sunday morning. And we noticed our friends went on Sunday night. They went on Wednesday night. They were involved in things that were going on. That influenced us. You have more influence than you realize that you do. Because I'll be honest, from a pastor's standpoint, a lot of people, they're not interested in standing around talking to a preacher. They're just something about it. But now they'll talk to you. They'll be your friend. They'll listen to what you've got to say. The pastors are for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, that you might be equipped to carry out the work of the ministry. That's why God gave pastors, teachers, evangelists, all these things. Now the apostles are dead. We have a student that wrote a letter and asked me the question. I was teaching on this at school, and they wrote a letter and they said, "You say the apostles are no more, that the apostles are dead. Why?" I said, "Because the apostles are dead. We're not dealing with the apostles. We're not dealing with the prophets. We're dealing with, we could say, the evangelists, pastors, and teachers are working today. Working in our midst. What are the pastors for? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. And number three, for the edifying of the body of Christ." What does that mean? For the edifying of the body of Christ. We've got number one, that you might be equipped. Number two, that you might work. Let's think about it this morning. Equipped to work for the edifying of the body of Christ. Edifying, if you look that up and study it out, it means this, to build. The word edifying has to do with architecture. We're equipped to work for the edifying, for the building up of the church. For the edifying of the body of Christ. How do you build a church? Do you call the building supply? Do you get a... We're not talking about lumber and bricks and cement. We're talking about the body. We're talking about the members. How do you build up a church? How do you grow a church? The emphasis of today seems to just be simply on how big can you get? You don't find that in the Bible. You only find one mega church in the Bible that had thousands and thousands and thousands of members, and it failed. That was the church at Jerusalem. They had everything that a modern church would tend to want, but they basically went out of business within a few years because they failed to do the first thing. You shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria. And there's a famine in Jerusalem, and there's a persecution, and they were scattered abroad. And God raised up Antioch, and from Antioch they sent out Paul and Barnabas and many, many others. But that mega church failed. We're not to grow a church on a business model. A business model offers a wide menu. You know, what do you want? Isn't that how churches are operating today? We have it. 9 a.m. we have the traditional, and then next service we have a contemporary, and then we have a blended, and boy, you got everything. We got drive-through prayer, and I mean everything under the sun. It's almost like Burger King or McDonald's. We're not to build churches on a business model. We ought to be interested in building a church and growing a church on a Bible model. What is the Bible model? What about the edifying of the body of Christ? The Bible model revolves around the Word of God. How do you build a church? Right here's the plans. And you got, if you want to do it God's way, you got to follow God's plans. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 2, young pastor, he said, preach the Word. What do you need more than anything else? You need the Word of God. I need the Word of God. I'm not up here and you're down here. God called me the pastor to be the pastor, and that's my gift. But I'm saying, what do we need as God's people? We need the Word of God. I thoroughly enjoyed last Sunday just hearing somebody else preach. Man, it fed my soul. I've thought about it all week long. I've been looking around. I thought about Brother Whittemore's message Sunday night. Just that little thought that he gave about in Luke chapter 11 about lend me three loaves. I've been thinking about that. We need some loaves to give to somebody. I got a blessing out of that. I thought about Brother Sizemore's message about dedicating your life and where you're using your talents. Are you just pouring it in the ground? That spoke to my heart. That'll build you up. Paul told Timothy, he said, preach the Word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Be ready to preach a Word. That's what God's people needs. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. He said, preach the Word. Philippians chapter 2, verse 16. The Bible talks there about holding forth the Word of life. It's candidate season. Wish they'd open it up like buck season, don't you? Man, I get tired of hearing about that stuff. You know, there's a lot of words, but it's not the Word of life. Right, there's the Word of life. That'll change your heart. That'll change your life. That'll give you hope for the future. That'll give you something you can build something on. It's the Word of life. And it's true words. And it's good words. And it's God's Word. The Bible talks about it in the book of Colossians, chapter 2 and verse number 7, about the Word of God. Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as ye have been taught. Rooted and built up in Him. That's what the Word of God will do for you. The Word of God will build you up. The Word of God will build a church. God will build a church around. What does Mount Lebanon Baptist Church do? We better do the Word. And everything else we do is centered around the Word of God. Getting the Word of God out. Getting the gospel out. Growing in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how churches were built. Historically, biblically. And I believe it'll even work today. I mean, we've seen God's blessing. There's no use to mess with it. God will bless where His Word is honored and held up and preached and believed and obeyed. That's how churches are to be built, the Bible way. Souls will be saved. Lives will be changed. But it takes the Word of God. So what are pastors for anyway? And I commend you, church. You've been so good to us and are good to us, and I appreciate it. You know I always want to be a help to God's people, but have you just ever thought about, well, what do we need a preacher for anyway? Do you know there's a lot of churches out here, I think they've got in their mind, it don't matter if we have a preacher or not. A lot of churches don't want a preacher, and if they had a good preacher, they'd run him off. What they're wanting is a social director or a greet and meet or just somebody to say, but boy, I'll tell you, what I want in life more than anything else, I want a good preacher. I want to hear the Word of God. If I had my choice between a good politician and a good lawyer and a good pastor, buddy, I'd take that good pastor. He's got a connection somebody else might not have. Good doctor, you name it. What are they for? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That is what pastors are for. And so it's good to appreciate, and it's good to recognize these things. And I appreciate you, and I love you. I'd like for us to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning. Say, what kind of an invitation, what kind of application can you make from a message like that?